The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Do we always feel the Holy Spirit through conviction and guilt every time we sin? Well, that's what we're going to discuss today. Hello and welcome to the show. This is Grace in Focus, and I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us. Currently, we're in a series where we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
This is Grace in Focus, where we not only have a Grace in Focus podcast, we also have Grace in Focus magazine. And we have a daily blog, and I like coming to work.
Yeah.
I like doing this stuff, so I guess that definitely helps. It's not at all a chore. Sometimes things can drag, you know, and you need to take that extra cup of coffee or whatever.
Right.
But for the most part, man, what a privilege to just wrestle with the Bible and write about it and teach about it and talk about it. It's great.
It's really a blessing. You know, I've reflected. In fact, I'm writing a book called His Unseen Hand, and it's looking at incidents in my life where God was at work and I didn't realize it. And one of those events was I went to Dallas Seminary, and it really wasn't my plan at all, but somehow I ended up there. And I ended up going beyond the THM to get a THD. Later, I changed it to a PhD. I really wanted to teach there. And so I went to all the department heads and said, I'd like to teach in your department. And they all turned me down.
Mm-hmm.
And I even went to the president at the time, and he told me, look, if you'd graduated between 74 and 78, we almost certainly would have hired you. But now the New Testament department's full, and the other departments are full, and we really don't need you now.
Right.
And I look back on that, and I think that was the grace of God.
Right.
Because I love doing, like you say, what I do. We have so much freedom. We're like a think tank.
Well, I was just thinking about a professor of mine. He has to, like, read my paper and grade my paper, and he has to read and grade all these other papers. And I'm just thinking, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't find that interesting to have to read other people's papers all day and grade them.
See, I taught at two different Bible colleges only for a year and a half. And again, that was part of His unseen hand. And it's another story. But in one of them, I had a grader working under me. And so that was nice.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure some of them love that. And I'm sure there is like a lot of satisfaction in teaching a subject that you're really interested in, let's say the book of Hebrews or whatever, and then seeing the lights turn on,
you know,
people getting it. I can see a lot of satisfaction in that. But guess what? We get to do that here. We get to teach through Hebrews or John or whatever and see the lights go on, not of students in a class, but of people all around the world.
You're part of our class. It's a big class.
It is, yeah. There's
a lot of you out there, and we're thankful to God for you, and we pray that you are edified by these daily podcasts and that you're encouraged. Ultimately, our aim is that one day you would hear the Lord Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's Sean's aim. That's my aim. That should be the aim of every believer in Jesus Christ, that we would have the Lord's approval, that we would be approved workmen. 2 Timothy 2:15. That's the same idea in 1 Corinthians 9:27.
Amen. You know, living that approved life comes first by, you know, having your mind renewed and
Absolutely.
Having a different perspective, having a divine perspective on things, and then putting your faith into practice. And so this isn't like Bible trivia. This isn't a Bible trivia show.
No.
It's very practical. We all want to have a biblical worldview so that we can have a God-pleasing life.
And I think we'd fail a Bible trivia show because we don't know all the names of all the children and all the people.
Oh, and absolutely. I would totally fail that. All right. Here's a question from Alexander. And he says, I've heard from some churches that if you're truly saved, you'll feel the Holy Spirit through conviction and guilt every time you sin. Is that true?
No. Do you have another question?
Yeah. So this is interesting in one sense, because in one sense, the Holy Spirit was given to the whole world to do what?
Convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
And so
John 16:7-11.
So you don't need to be born again to have the Holy Spirit convict you of sin.
No, if you're convicted of sin, that's a proof that you're a human.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. But now, does that become even more true when you're born again?
Well, it's a question. It does if you're walking in the light. because then God reveals sin in your life and you confess it and you're more sensitive to sin than before.
Okay.
However, if you go to the spiritual far country, you harden your heart and you may be less sensitive to the convicting work of the Spirit than an unbeliever.
Okay.
And by the way, I do not like the expression truly saved.
Right.
You're either born again or you're not.
Right.
You're either pregnant or you're not.
Yeah.
There's no, I'm really born again.
Right.
As compared to somebody else who's kind of born again.
Except, we just did a series on salvation in five different New Testament verses.
Right. That's a different use
of
the word
saved. So there's different
saved.
Kinds of salvation that you can have. And do you think, I don't know, can you say I'm truly saved in these other senses?
Okay, well, you could say, for example, if you're dealing with salvation from judgment in this life, yes, I've been saved.
Like, work out your own salvation with fear and trouble. Were the Philippians, could you say, I mean, could you use that, well, I'm truly saved, or I'm kind of, you know, is there
Well, no,
degrees?
Then you say you're in the process of being saved, okay. And that's 1 Corinthians 15, too. He uses a present passive, you are being saved.
Yeah.
By the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And you must hold fast to the word which I preached to you. And right. So there is a sense, but that's referring to being spiritually healthy. But I think we're getting far afield here.
We're getting.
I would just say, you're either born again or not, and feeling the Holy Spirit would be a bad proof, because the more sensitive you are, the more perfectionistic you are, the more you're going to feel your own sin.
Okay.
And if that was a proof of salvation, then many of us would say, I had proof of my salvation before I was born again.
Because
again.
The Holy Spirit is there to convict everyone of sin.
And the more sensitive you are, the more you're convicted of it. And so I would say, no, this has nothing to do with it. How do you know you're born again?
Yeah.
Because Jesus said, whoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life.
Right.
I know that's true, therefore I know I have everlasting life. Martha in John 11:27, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And he had just said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yes, because you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God, and that's what you promised. No spiritual death.
What about this other, I think it's a slightly different issue, not just conviction of sin, but guilt. Should Christians feel guilt? I mean, who should feel guilt?
Yes, we should feel guilt as part of the convicting of sin. However, the idea that somehow we need to gin up some level of feeling about that guilt is crazy. It's possible to think, well, look, I'm sorry I committed that sin, but am I sorry enough?
Right.
Do I feel guilty enough? Am I turning from it enough? The issue, if you're walking in fellowship with God, is not really turning from sin. It's being open and honest, because while you're walking in fellowship with God, your desire is to please him. And that doesn't stop when you recognize sin in your life.
Yeah.
What you recognize is, Lord, I confess that. It's kind of like, have you ever gotten in an argument with your spouse, and after the fact, of course, you apologize to her and you say, you know, Sharon, I'm sorry. And you confess it to the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Lord, I didn't want that to happen. It's not like you went out of your way to do this and now you need to turn from it.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, I want to learn how not to do that in the future. And one of the things I found is if you just take some time, it eliminates or softens arguments. You know, if I find that Sharon and I are having a discussion and it's getting more and more heated, I say, I'll be back in a few minutes, and I go out for a walk, and I come back, and I'm sane.
Sure.
But if I stay in there and think, well, I'm a believer, and I have the power of the Holy Spirit, so I can handle anything.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to hang in here and keep debating.
Yeah.
No, that's not a wise idea, because it can escalate. And so taking some time out can be helpful for adults, too, right? It's not just kids that need time out.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, we need timeouts, too. So I don't want to harp on this guilt thing, but because it's such a part of so much religion. Let's say you've sinned and you apply 1 John 1:7-9. You confess the Lord. And then should you still feel guilty about your sins after that?
No. And if you do, I think that is a deception from the evil one. And by the way, I got an email yesterday from a friend who said, I know there's one condition of remaining in fellowship with God, and that is confessing our sins. And I wrote him back, and I said, 1 John 1:9. Mm-hmm. I wrote him back, and I said, no, there's actually two conditions. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's more than two, but at least two. One is confessing our sins. The other is we must abide in Christ and abide in his word. Mm. That's also called walking in the light, 1 John 1:7.
Yeah.
But John 8:30-32, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, mm-hmm. well, then you're going to be set free. And
right.
so you can confess your sins all day long, but if you're not sitting under clear Bible teaching,
yeah.
if you've cut yourself off from the church and now you're not getting any Bible teaching, what's going to happen is you are going to backslide over time.
Right.
We need not only to confess our sins, but we need to be in the light. In fact, being in the light is first, 1 John 1:7,
yeah.
and that leads us to confessing our sins, 1 John 1:9. How do I know that what I've done is sin? Well, okay, there can be a feeling within me,
yeah.
but what I found, and maybe you found this, Sean, sometimes I feel guilty for things that aren't wrong.
Sure, yeah.
You know, you think, oh, wow, that was sin. Well, no, wait a minute. The Bible doesn't say that's sin.
Yeah, exactly. Did I wear the wrong clothes at this church?
Yeah, and so I feel guilty about it because I have on
jeans instead of pleated pants or something.
Right. Or maybe I feel guilty because I got some food in my teeth, and I've got a green pea sticking there, and people are kind of pointing at me. That's not a reason for guilt. Just get the green thing out of your teeth.
Yeah. So when a person confesses their sins, they're walking the light, they get convicted by the Holy Spirit of their sin, they confess it to God, they should no longer feel guilt. They should take God at his word and realize, no, you are forgiven. For God, that is a settled issue. Don't let that guilt hang over your head. Believe his word.
Right. If you feel guilt, just reject it. Because we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith.
That's right.
So, Alexander, that's a good question. And you need to walk by faith as you recognize sin in your life, acknowledge it to God, confess it to God, and continue to walk in the light of God's word. Don't let guilt rule you. Certainly don't question your eternal destiny because of sin in your life or because you confess sins. Stand on the promises of God and the teaching in God's word.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about the difference between believing in and on, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.